Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
1 Corinthians 13 is a detailed description of perfect love. And the Lord said in John 13:35, "All men will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." So it is the evidence of those who are his disciples. The fruit of love is seen in our actions and attitudes as we encounter people and situations in life. Today we are concluding our study in 1 Corinthians 13, so we invite you to join in the conversation as we dig into the command of living in perfect love.
We have been looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We've been picking each one of those apart, giving some descriptive words that describe what that would look like so that we can recognize it in ourselves.
That's right.
And we got to not easily provoked. Let's talk about provoked and move forward from there.
Well, I think it's one of the easiest things to fall into because we all have our own mindsets. All right. Mm-hmm. So anytime I'm talking to you, we could be talking and saying, yeah, that's really great. I agree with you on that. Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's proceed that. Oh, that doesn't sound good. Well, I think it sounds good. And so all of a sudden, the tone of the conversation changes and we find one person's spirit getting a little provoked at maybe having to contend in back and forth conversations.
Not getting their way.
Not getting their way or not able to relate ideas. Sometimes mm-hmm. it has more innocence. I don't understand what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And now I'm getting a little upset that you can't convey it to me or that I can't hear it.
Right.
Okay. So we can start off with innocence. It doesn't just have to be, I'm ticked at you. Just
purposeful.
Good way. So then we need to know that provokedness comes out in I think you said last week, and kind of surprised, sarcasm,
yeah.
You know, and tantrums and mm-hmm. exasperation. But there are scriptures that help call us into accountability. And one that comes to mind, and you may have some that come to mind, but Colossians 3:5 says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." Now, do you have a verse that would also talk about pursuing peace?
Hebrews 12:14 says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord."
Okay. And then this one kind of falls under some heavy admonition out of the Old Testament in Proverbs 6:16-17, where the Lord lists his abominations,
mm-hmm.
a proud look and a false witness, who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren are an abomination. And so the person who that is proudful is certainly not peaceful. The false witness, certainly not truth. And so we find that those who sow discord among the brethren are those that are provoked. God says that's an abomination.
So when we find people who are touchy, or we see that we're being touchy, super sensitive and easily ruffled when we don't get our way or irritated about certain things, then we can start seeing ourselves being easily provoked and call our own selves into accountability with that attitude.
Yes, and I think the sobering illustration that we just touched on but didn't elaborate is everybody must read Psalms 106.
Yes.
Because it cost Moses going into the promised land because of a provoked spirit.
Okay.
Now, that's a heavy consequence to pay after the life that Moses lived,
uh-huh.
to have that wrong choice at the end of his life. He got to see the promised land, but he didn't get to go into it.
Yeah.
That's sobering,
yeah,
Sharon.
It is. All right. So the next one is, does not take into account a wrong.
Pardon my laughter. Yeah. That's a sarcastic laughter because I don't know if, unless we see in living three-dimensional color the encompassing work of forgiveness, we will take into account a wrong suffered. It's the human natural man.
Yeah. And living in unforgiveness in your heart, resentment and bitterness, and it leads to anger and having a vindictive spirit and being deceitful. Because if you have unforgiveness, many times you won't let anybody else know that you are unforgiving. So you might be nice to somebody's face, but you can't stand them.
But you'll find the same thing holds true in the lack of love that holds true in love. And that is, if they have lack of love, their attitude will move into some kind of action. Right. And their actions will reflect the nature of their heart. And so that principle of whether it's true love or agape love, look and see if the attitudes and the actions are consistent. If they're not consistent, that should put a warning flag up.
Okay. All right. So if they are a forgiving person, which basically is the definition of does not take into account a wrong, they're a forgiving person. They're sincere and open.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And our scripture verse for that is Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection.
Yes. And then you think, okay, I'll do that if that happens again. And then you have Luke 17:3-4, where it says, forgive as often as necessary. That is, if your brother sins against you once a day, forgive. If he's sinned against you five times before noon,
forgive.
And everyone just needs to read the Lord's Prayer, because right. That is the guideline and the outline for us to forgive as we have been forgiven. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the points to really understanding the cross, because when we understand everything that was encompassed at the cross and the resurrection, then our hearts are so overwhelmed with thanksgiving that it makes forgiving the other person pretty easy when we see what we have been forgiven from.
Right. And the Lord's Prayer is found in Matthew 6:6-15. And the scripture verse for forgiving as often as necessary is Luke 17:3-4.
Right. And now we've got we've still got a couple more. So let's go with rejoices in truth. And so we're saddened at someone's misfortunes. We want to cover the faults of others. We're actually glad when another person's life is maybe elevated or put into a position that's greater than ours. And then lack of love, well, we show that in gloating over the faults of others, or when somebody else fails, we're happy that they failed. Serves you right. Told you so.
Yeah, right.
You see, and finding pleasure in others' misfortunes. And so we've got some verses there, Sharon, if you want to show those. And then the last four kind of have a different twist to them. So do you have the verses for not rejoicing in another's problems, but rejoice in truth?
Proverbs 24:7-16 is the scripture verses that I have. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. Lest the Lord see it, and it displeases him, and he turns away his wrath from him. He who gives a right answer kisses the lips.
Yes, and both of those are found in chapter 14, but I thought,
24.
I'm sorry, I've got
That's okay.
Wrong pair of glasses on. He who gives a right answer kisses the lips. You know, as loving as someone, a kiss on the lips is so tenderly intimate, and the right answer can promote that same sensing. Mm-hmm. How important it is how our answers are. But anyway, I'm going to let you share here in the last things, because the last things that we have are bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And there is that word all in each of these.
Right.
So what's your take on when we need to bear all things?
Oh, bearing. Well, I think we talked about this a few weeks ago when we talked about standing against the current and under pressure. It's quite difficult sometimes to stand in truth and stand with a good attitude. So they stand up under pressure.
And we've seen some of that on our social media and our news networks where people have stood for their convictions and had their businesses shut down. Mm-hmm. Men of faith who are in our services who have been actually kicked out of the service for standing for what they are put into the armed services to convey and teach.
Right.
But that's the changing of our society and our culture.
So this doesn't really talk about bearing things that are unholy.
No. The negative side to it would be when you have the attitude that you're at the end of your rope. Okay, or that you're weary in your doing and you're collapsing under pressure and you're retreating. The Lord says, don't grow weary in well-doing. Now, it doesn't say that don't grow weary at all, because if you're under afflictions, there's going to be some weariness in the body. But don't grow weary in well-doing. In other words, keep your eyes on the finish mark. Run the race for the goal that's set before you. And there's a verse, and I cannot quote it to you right now, but it's in the Old Testament, and it says, if you have ran with the footman and wearied, what are you going to do when the chariots come? Which means, okay, if you can't stand under the little afflictions, what are you going to do when the big crisis come? So to bear all things is to simply, I don't like formulas, as you know, but I would say if we're going to learn to bear all things, we need to go to 2 Peter 1 and realize that that is where it tells us that we've given everything that pertains to life and godliness, and that as we know the divine promises, we will know the power of God. So if we know the scriptures in our hearts and we're living it because it's our second nature, then there will be the power to stand and bear all things. I'm not saying it's going to be like running a smooth move, but
so basically when scriptures talks about bearing all things, it's talking about bearing things that have to do with life in general, or have to do with our Christian walk, or all the above?
All the above. It's standing up under the load. Okay. I guess you can stop and think about a weightlifter. He bears the load.
Well, if we look at, let's look at a woman. I mean, I was thinking this myself just recently. There's so much. I mean, between work and laundry and, cleaning and vacuuming dinner and, getting the kids off to school and picking them up from school. And, all of the little things all add up.
Well, you are describing that you have a career, and then after your career, you have a job. So you work 8 to 5 doing one thing. You then take care of family, and then you work the evening in your ministry or what you've been called.
Catching up on laundry.
Or catching up on laundry because you were doing ministry during the day. And so that requires bearing up under just the pressure and the longevity for someone in affliction, having to bear up with chronic pain. They can function, but their mind is always being pulled towards the pain, and that has to be borne up so that they can still communicate with society and function.
Well, you bring out a good point, because what about those people who are caring for their elderly?
Oh, the caretakers.
Parents or grandparents or something of that nature. I mean, that's a big load to bear.
I believe the Lord will have a special reward, whether it's a crown or not, I don't know, for caretakers.
Oh.
Because many caretakers lose their health in caring for the ones that they lose.
Yeah.
I mean, that they care for.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So basically, we've got some good examples. Once again, the scriptures never fail us. And in 2 Chronicles 15:7-8, it says, be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. And then, Sharon, you know it well, 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, the testimony of Paul, and he gives his description that he was abandoned, but he wasn't rejected, and mm-hmm. he was forlorn, and I don't have all the adjectives that I
can't remember. Pressed down, but not destroyed.
There you go. And so he's a perfect example of bearing all things. And then the type of encouragement is in Philippians 4:12-13, where we do all things through Christ, because it is through Christ that we have to do all things. But he is the source so that we can bear up under what we might consider the unbearable.
Right.
He can change the mind, the attitude, the temperament, bring the support, help in the right.
Give us peace.
Yes. And then here was the verse that I was looking for, Proverbs 24:10. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small.
Okay.
So we need to stand.
All right. Well, our next one is believes all things. So you look for the best in others, give the benefit of the doubt. You're confident in others, trusting and generous, vulnerable
to them. Now, we probably need to put a qualifier on this because I can already hear the protest from some thinking, you don't know my situation.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
Okay. So let's just define a lack of love will be suspicious, doubtful, critical, skeptical, and self-protective. Now, let's give a couple of illustrations to bring balance to this.
All right.
All right. I'm in a relationship, and I've trusted my friend.
Okay.
Okay. And my friend betrays me, wounds, cuts, maybe even costs me a lawsuit, something that would definitely separate friends. Okay. Now, that friend comes back, and that friend asks for forgiveness. And you are at a point in your love that you'll go ahead and forgive them. But Sharon, the second time around, that person may need to spend some time earning your trust back because you gave in faith. You gave your heart. This is especially true in relationships where there is maybe a marriage.
Wounds.
Yes,
wounds
deep
of
wounds.
Any sort.
Yes, and it can be siblings, parents, anything. Mm-hmm. You have to not just say, you want me to go back and look for the best in this individual when we know they've committed 5 robberies, or we know that they were actually guilty of a murder. Forgiveness is always due. That's Jesus Christ in the cross. But when they want to reestablish a close relationship, we have to sometimes recognize that trust needs to be earned now.
Okay.
We just don't freely go back. What I found that to be true, Sharon, and this is painful for many, and that is when you live in abusive situations, the average person will go back into an abusive situation 5 times before they finally get their eyes open or their bones broken to the pain of, it doesn't matter if I want to love them, I cannot go back into that. My body has been bought by Jesus Christ. It's not given for the purpose of an abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes the Lord will allow, for unknown reasons, the persecution, and that day may be coming for many of us. But in the, what I'm going to call, quote-unquote, normal world, we just don't keep going back in and helping to foster somebody's bondage in a dangerous lifestyle.
Okay.
So we think we need to make that qualification so people don't pick up the wrong balance.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when we talk about believes all things, we're talking about believing in the best of someone.
Yes, believing and having hope Jesus Christ.
And not necessarily in those particular situations where they have to earn trust back.
And we don't have to agree with it, and we can set boundaries. Like I know of one incident where the person came back and they agreed to have him come back and forgiveness was issued, but there were boundaries set in the relationship that they agreed upon because of the abuse that had taken prior.
But this is something that we can apply to our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yes.
We can apply to our friendships. We can apply to our relationship. I mean, we don't always have to be suspicious when our husband has to work late, or always be suspicious when a friend can't come to lunch and cancels at the last minute. I mean, it doesn't have to be about us.
No.
So believing all things means giving people the benefit of the doubt and looking for the best in others. Well, even when you, what you see is probably the worst. But.
Well, and you don't have to go back in and all of, you know, there's a circle of friends. So you can have a circle of friends where you have a friend and you're kind to them. And if you can do kind acts, great. But you don't bring them into your intimate circle where they might betray you again. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean holding somebody at arm's length, but there's just different levels of trust, and there's different levels of being able to enjoy one another in fellowship. Your mindset needs to be in agreement if you're going to be prayer partners. Somebody
right,
that
right.
I knew was totally walking by their own self style, I would not probably choose to be my intimate prayer partner.
Okay.
But still, if that person was in need and they were a Christian, then kindness needs to come forth and show forth kindness.
Okay.
So hopefully that gives a little bit better balance.
Well, Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition, but esteem others better than yourself. And Galatians 6:1, bear one another's burdens. Our scripture verses for believes all things.
And if we could do that, we would be miles ahead of where we are today. So we've got, what, two more to go?
Yes, and we're about halfway through, so we need to get going.
All right, I'll let you take it.
Hopes all things. So they're optimistic. They see the bright side. They're sunny and cheerful. They're not gloomy. They don't have despair. Gloom, despair, and agony. Sorry.
Yeah, I think there was a song there.
So, all right. Then if they lack love, then they will be gloomy and pessimistic, and they'll give up on others. And so our scripture verse for that is Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life.
And we have to remember that when we hope in all things, we can easily say, if all things we hope in are in Jesus Christ, because he is our hope.
Yes. And putting that toward others and seeing them with the eyes of the Lord, mm-hmm. looking past their faults, looking past their failures, their weaknesses, the things that they do, and seeing that person as a soul that Jesus died for.
Well, and this is a great part of the love to deepen your prayer life, because our hope is in Jesus Christ. So if you have a wayward child, if you have a wayward spouse, grandparent, co-worker, then your hope goes back to Jesus Christ, and you start to intercede for that person in prayer, looking for the best that Jesus Christ can do in them.
Right.
And that way we don't lose hope. If there is a time factor on the time you start to pray and the time you see the fruition. I think it was George Mueller who prayed for some friends for 64 years, and they accepted Christ at his funeral.
Oh, wow.
So you don't give up
that's
hope.
That's amazing.
Yeah, you don't give up hope.
Okay, so the next one is endures all things. They're persevering, steadfast, they hold on. They're undiscouraged. They have positive attitude.
And then if they have lack of love, they can't endure. So they're going to give up, throw in the towel. They're going to cease trying. They're going to flee away.
They get discouraged easily.
Well, and I tell you what, when you can't endure and the pain is there, then you want to flee and escape. And now we're back to 1 John 4:18 with a fear factor. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we could go back and tie that in to the fear factor for understanding how to endure. So I think basically we need to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ if we're going to endure. And that would be 2 Timothy 3:5-10.
We are soldiers here and required to endure hardness for Jesus Christ, endure things for the elect. So we can start praying for those areas that we lack love. Agree with God where we're lacking and choose to know, claim, and invoke the truth in our lives, regardless of how we feel about the situation. And start a habit of daily declaring the truth within and a faith to apply what God has provided through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit to make changes.
Mm-hmm.
And move forward with some truth and being able to love people with the agape love. Janie, close this out in prayer, please.
All right, Father, it is a joy to talk about your love. It is a pleasure to look to see how our attitudes and actions need to be consistent to bring you glory for your plan and your purpose. Father, we recognize that in our daily walk, even though you are our strength, that we still can make poor choices and they have bad repercussions. So, Father, by your faithfulness, draw us unto this agape love, and then daily make us aware of how we may live it out for your Son's honor and glory. We praise you and thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us today for this challenging conversation. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at SharonHearts.org. That's Sharon, S-H-A-R-I-N, Hearts, H-E-A-R-T-S.org.